Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
So I'm wondering how many of you have heard, perhaps growing up, something along the following lines. God loves you, but only if you behave a certain way. Okay, I guess I could stop there. God loves you, but only if you go to church every Sunday. Maybe Wednesdays. God loves you, but if you don't follow all the rules, he, and for some reason, this part of God is always a he, which is completely unfair to all the men in the world. But God loves you, but if you don't follow the rules, he will condemn you to hell for all eternity and you will suffer. My goodness. That just makes me cringe saying it, and I do not believe it and never have. God loves you so much that it made you in its image, but who you are is a sin. So what the heck is up with all this? What is it? Does God love us? Or does it condemn and judge and, you know, throw its wrath on us? Well, of course, the answer is, and the answer for all of us here and at all centers for spiritual living, is that God is love and loving. God loves you unconditionally all the time, no matter what.
Right
on. All right? So let's just get that straight. This is, like I said, back to basics. So let's start with the most basic. God loves us. So if that's true, then where did the idea of this angry, vengeful God come from? Well, there's a few theories out there that I'll quickly share with you. One is that we have made God in our image. We use this concept of God as angry and vengeful to justify our hatred and judgments, to justify our smallness and meanness, and to justify our own inferiority complexes. Another theory is, especially pertaining to the three Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, which is most likely where most of us came from. One theory related to that is all three of these faith paths are rooted in the Hebrew Scriptures, a very ancient text. And if you've ever read the Hebrew Scriptures, also formerly known as the Old Testament, that is a very angry, vengeful, confusing God, right? And so the theory goes that because these early Jewish people, Israelites, had experienced so much trauma, loss, slavery, occupying forces such as the Romans and their land, exiles to other lands where they were treated like second-class citizens. Because of all this collective trauma, the writers of the Hebrew Scriptures were trying to work out their trauma. And one explanation they came up with was, well, it must be because God has this love-hate relationship with us. And unfortunately, because it got put into something called scriptures, it survived all these 2,000 plus years, actually much more than 2,000 years. So here's the thing, while these might explain where this angry God came from, it does not actually change the true nature of God, which is love and loving. And that's what we want to get back to today and all of this month, is those fundamental truths in the world that what we call the golden thread of truth that winds through all faith paths. We here at Centers for Spiritual Living, our founder Ernest Holmes, and all the great New Thought, we kind of fall under the New Thought umbrella, but Ernest Holmes and all the his predecessors and all the great teachers since then in our philosophy, our spiritual philosophy, have really focused on and, well, have studied many, many, many faith traditions, some of which I've never actually heard of, but they find this golden thread of truth that winds through all of them. Because, of course, all peoples throughout the world have asked those fundamental questions like, where did it all come from? How did we get here? What is our part in it all? What is our relationship with that thing that made all this happen? So there is that golden thread of truth, and that's what we're about. And this golden thread of truth is found in the more mystical aspects of all these faith traditions. What I mean by that is they're found in that direct experience of the divine. So what we try to do is to take those teachings and strip them of all the fire and brimstone and all the hell and damnation and all that, and just get back to the fundamental truths. So that's what we're about. That's what we're doing this month. And this Sunday, week one, we're looking at God. What it is and what it isn't. And of course, it is that love only and not the angry, vengeful judgment. So I'll talk more about that love, but before we talk about this love of the divine that pervades the entire universe, let's take a step back and ask the even more fundamental question is, what is God? What is its nature? And we're going to start with our Declaration of Principles, and I'll be doing this throughout this service and the following Sundays this month. Our Declaration of Principles here at Centers for Spiritual Living, also known as the We Believe Statements. We believe in God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. This one manifests itself in and through all creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. The manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. Man, there's a lot packed in there. So let me unpack it a bit. First and foremost, it means God is all there is because God is in all of creation. It is all of creation. Everything that has ever been came from that one source. So this means God, and let me, when I say the word God, feel free to use any other word you like. If that word has some baggage for you, that's okay. Change it up. You can call it spirit, life, universe, love, intelligence. We don't really care around here. You can call it cat. You can call it dog. Okay? What? Okay. So this power that I choose to call God, because I did a lot of work around my relationship with that word. But God is immanent, meaning it's in everything as everything. It is also transcendent, meaning it is more than its creation. As our Muslim friends say, and I've said here before, God is greater. God is greater than everything we can perceive and sense and experience. God is transcendent. It is also infinite. It never runs out of itself, so it is always creating. God is first cause, sometimes also called the thing itself. It is that power back of everything that creates everything, or what the Kabbalists, the mystical aspect of Judaism, what the Kabbalists call En Sof, which means no thing. Not nothing. No thing. It is that unformed substance or energy before it takes form. Or if you're a scientist and you like quantum physics, it's the infinite field of potentiality. And God is intelligent. Isaac Newton wrote, "The wonderful ordering of the sun, the planets, and the comets cannot but be the work of an intelligent, all-powerful being." So what does this mean for us as humans and the truth of our being? We believe in the individualization of the spirit in us, and that all people are individualizations of the one spirit. So that means God is the all of us. Which is not the same as saying, as our critics sometimes accuse us of, we are not saying, "I am God." There's a slight difference there. God is the all of me. God is the all of each and every one of you. God is the all of each and every human who has ever existed. And no one human is the all of God. Remember, God is transcendent. We possess all of its qualities. But God is bigger than us. But it is the all of our being. And of course, it means, as so many faith traditions teach, that we are indeed made in His image, which means there's nothing about you that's a sin or wrong. And we are divine. It means we are of divine character and substance. We are those divine qualities of beauty and love and harmony and peace and abundance and truth and power and strength. We are all those things. Anything unlike that is learned. We didn't come into the world with anything unlike love and beauty and peace and harmony. We believe in the unity of all life, and that the highest God and the innermost God is one God. So this means deeply we are one. We hear that a lot in our teaching. Deeply we are one, because we all come from the same divine source and substance and mind and heart. We are all connected, not just with other humans, but with all of life, with all of creation, with all of everything that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. Deeply we are one. It also means there's no separation between us and the divine. After all, we are its expression. And I believe, and we teach, that it's that fear or belief in separation that causes so much of those other characteristics that we throw on to God, such as anger and vengeful behavior and whatnot. But we're not separated. Deeply, we are one. And lastly, about this oneness, does not mean sameness. That's another thing we say a lot around here. Oneness does not mean sameness. We are each a unique expression of the divine. The divine chose to individualize itself in us So we are not the same, but we are one. So now to get back to the love. God is love and loving. God does not withhold its love until we behave as it wishes. God does not abuse us in one moment and then in the next proclaim its love for us. In other words, God is not a psychopath. Yeah. And I cannot take credit for that line. That line comes from my practitioner friend in Aurora, Colorado, at New Dawn Center for Spiritual Living, Russell Dennis. God is not a psychopath. Sums it up. We believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of life to all. God is good all the time. God is loving kindness all the time. And God gives of itself all the time. And this being one of those threads and that, or those, I was going to say a thread in the golden thread of truth, but being part of that golden thread of truth, we find it in all faith traditions. Gandhi from the Hindu tradition, I can see that in the midst of darkness, light persists. Hence, I gather that God is life, truth, light. God is love. God is supreme good. And from Ernest Holmes, our founder, love is the central flame of the universe, nigh the very fire itself. And from Father Richard Rohr from the Catholic tradition, the people who know God well, mystics, hermits, prayerful people, those who risk everything to find God, always meet a lover, never a dictator. Thank you, Father Rohr. Yes. We believe that God is personal to all who feel this indwelling presence. Each and every one of us, like the mystics throughout the ages, have direct and do have direct experiences of the divine. And this is how we know the divine. This is where and how we experience its love. Who has ever been in deep meditative communion with the divine and found a vengeful God? Who has ever been in the midst of an awe experience and found that God is a psychopath? Who has ever been in nature fully mindful of all that beauty and harmony and abundance and thought, this must come from something other than a loving presence? What is out there in nature that would ever make us think that God is angry at us? For me, when I think of how the universe works, from the infinitesimally small to the infinitely large, when I remember that there is just enough gravity to hold everything together just right, you know, a little more gravity and the universe collapses on itself, a little less gravity and all goes flying apart. There's just enough gravity. When I remember that stars die and then give us life, that we are stardust, when I think about how plants capture energy from this mysterious star, the sun, and then eventually that energy fuels my life, I'm astounded by all of it. And I refuse to believe that any of that could possibly come from anything but a loving presence. Again from Ernest Holmes, God is love. Whatever the impulsion of the universe is, it is love. It is kindness. It is compassion. It is sweetness, truth, beauty, and friendly towards us. And for my friend and mentor, Reverend Dr. Roger Teal, wherever I am. And whatever I face, I am immersed in the love, power, and peace of God. So why is it important to remember this, that God is love and loving? It's important to remember this and know this and teach this because, frankly, we have suffered enough already from the idea of an angry God. Humans have suffered more than enough from the idea of a vengeful God. It's like the cycle of bullying, right? Hurt people hurt. Well, it occurred to me at some point that perhaps a lot of the pain we experience in the world and a lot of the pain we inflict on each other comes because we, so many of us believe in this angry God. We're afraid of it. We have fear of it. And because we can't do anything to God, we turn it on others. Now, I haven't read any psychology that supports that, I'll admit, but it sure seems like it could be. And let me share with you that wherever you see the word in the Bible, for instance, that says fear God, the word that was translated as fear by humans, probably with an agenda, is actually better interpreted as worship or revere. And I have no problem with worshiping a loving God or revering a loving God. So God is all there is. God is love and loving. And let's not forget that God loves all equally. It is eternal goodness. It's eternal loving kindness. It's eternal givingness of life is for everyone. No one is left out. As Ernest Holmes again said, the universe is impersonal. It gives alike to all. It is no respecter of persons. It values each alike. So God doesn't play favorites. I know we're in the football playoffs, but just saying, my Packers are in. But I know God's not going to help the Packers make it all the way and win the Super Bowl. So no matter how much I pray for it. But this old-time religion idea that God favors some people over others, that the whole idea that there is one right religion, it's not true. That's like saying, so since God, if God is the only thing there is, and it put itself in all of creation, in all of us. It expresses itself through all human beings. If all of us are the expression of the one divine, God saying, I love these people more than these people, is God saying, I love part of me more than I love another part of me, and that is just nonsense. Right? So there are no favorites. And this is important to remember. Of course, we know this here. We already know this. But why is it important to remember this and to teach it? Because of prayer. We sometimes wonder, why are some prayers answered and not others? It is not because God loves some people more than others. It is not because some people are better at begging God for mercy than others. Our form of prayer here, affirmative prayer, is about transforming our consciousness. Prayer, we don't pray to do something to God, to change God, to beg God to love us. We pray to know our relationship with God and to know the truth of it. We pray to correct our own thinking and our own beliefs. We pray to expand our consciousness, to create that acceptance of God, what God is always already giving us. So we manifest the answer to our prayers to the degree that we have accepted it, not to the degree that God loves us. And let me caution against some science of mind malpractice, spiritual malpractice related to this. It looks like this. If you haven't manifested everything you want, what's wrong with your thinking, or what did you do to cause that? That kind of language. We are all on a path of uplifting our consciousness to knowing or remembering the full truth, getting back to the full truth of who we are. I also encourage us to remember that there is the individual consciousness and the collective consciousness at work in the world, because we all are one. Our consciousness feeds the collective consciousness. Our lives are informed by our individual consciousness and the collective consciousness. So when we pray to uplift our consciousness about love and peace and abundance and all these wonderful things we want in our life, wholeness and wellness, then we're feeding that collective consciousness. And I believe it's not only our privilege, but our duty to be drops of clear consciousness in the dirty waters of collective consciousness. Now, I believe this is happening. The collective consciousness is getting cleaner and cleaner with time. There is more peace. There is more love. There is more light. There is more joy. I know it doesn't always look like it, but I believe it. And I believe you can see that in the world if we see it. So it does us good to remember that if we see people who aren't experiencing the full life that they want, yes, we can lift them up. We can help them lift their individual consciousness, and we can help them by adding to the collective consciousness that's also at work in the world. So this is the nature of God. God is all there is. God is the all of each of us. And God is love, without judgment, only love. And I close with a poem that I believe captures this truth, that God is in everything as love, in a way that perhaps only poetry can. And it comes to us from the great Persian poet Hafiz. And still, after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, "You owe me." Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Let's pray. I invite our practitioner prayer partners and our ministers, whether here in the sanctuary or online, to stand and add their consciousness to this prayer. Thank you. For God so loved that it said, "I will create." And I do create. I express myself as my creation. And it is good, and it is beauty, and it is peace, and it is harmony. For God so loved that it said, "Let me bring forth life in my image with all of my qualities, with my mind and my heart and my soul, so as to help me spread and experience more love. I am so grateful for this deep truth that lives in, through, and as all of us. This deep truth that deeply we are one in a loving God, in a loving universe, knowing that every human is included. So for deep gratitude for this truth and this knowing, I simply release this because it is already true. It is already the truth. It always has been, always will be. And so it is. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.